Gager, I've heard rumors that you've been inspired by Evan Dunphy, the Canadian bronze medalist in the 50-kilometer road race walk, and you're thinking of contemplating competing in the 20 or 25-kilometer distance at the next Olympics. Confirm or deny this? We need to know.
Well, I got to wait for my Skechers, Joe Montana Skechers to come in before I start my training, because I want to get maximum output from my footwear before I can start, but I can't do that yet.
I love it. Now, Gager, if I had a dollar for every time someone asked me about Anton Khudobin out of Dallas and if he'd be a good partner for Mike Smith, I could probably buy all three of us Slurpees and candies to boot. But when you look at Khudobin, let's put aside what the cost would be to get rid of Miko's contract and the cost would be to bring Khudobin in. Is he would he consider him a big upgrade in style and skill over Sir Mikko Koskinen?
To tell you the truth, Straight, I don't think so. I think he's a good goalie, but I think they kind of are of the same mold where they're not starters, but they're good stop gaps with playing closely between, I would say, 25, 35 games, you know, like, and to me, being one of those goalies that was on the bubble, I just to go get another guy of that vintage and have your prospects just push down a little bit more. I think it's time to start looking more towards the future with goaltending. I mean, by all accounts, the Oilers' goaltending during the regular season was good. Mikko was when he wasn't called upon to play a bunch of games was serviceable. So yeah, no, I think it's a sidestep. It's not a step in the right direction for me.
You know, you look at some of the young goalie Konovalov and Olivier Rodrigue and of course Stuart Skinner. There's gonna be quite a grouping of goalies that are gonna try to, you know, punch their ticket to the NHL in the next year or two. But you know, what is the approach a developing goalie in the AHL needs to take to get himself ready to be an AHL goalie?
I think the biggest thing, it starts with a solid camp, and that's preparation through the summer, making sure you're it's tough because you're not facing those types of shots like game type. You're kind of, I mean, we look at Stalock at Summer League, and he's stacking the pads like crazy lately, right? So, but by all accounts, he's making some pretty good saves. I don't know about you, Sturdy, but I was always my own worst enemy in camp. I mean, I remember walking down the hall and looking at the list of guys, and it all depended on which session I was on, who were the other goalies, yeah, who were the shooters. So I was like, yeah. I would always play mind games with myself, like, oh, I'm going to the minors. And then, like, just my just soaring through the roof if I saw that I was on a specific sheet or time with a bunch of NHLers, right? So definitely getting that mindset of performing and not worrying about things that you can't control of. And I said this before, but the season that Mike Smith had last year, I think he has that kind of number one all, like he has to do something really ridiculous not to have that, I think, at the start of the season. But the number two slot, I think it's up for grabs. Like, Miko's got to come in and prove that he's better than Stalock. He's better than sorry, I'm losing his name here. Stuart Skinner or Rodriguez. Yeah. Like, those guys have a really good opportunity to come in, perform in camp, set themselves up, and who knows, maybe they can get to that point where they are playing 25, 30 games throughout this season.
Talking with NHL alumni and former Edmonton Oilers Joaquin Gage, and just all around good guy. And Gager, you know, you talk about that Mike Smith and taking the number one spot. What would be if he might have a different opinion, but the goalie coach and the head coach, they have to kind of figure out what the number of games is right for Mike Smith. If you had to say this is the number I would shoot for as a coach, not as that former goalie who thinks he can play every single game, even though his arms and legs are falling off during the midseason, what's the number that you think would be correct?
For Mike Smith, gosh, I mean, I think between 40 and 50 games. Max 50. He had a phenomenal year last year, I think, but with the added travel, more time on the plane, you know, that wears you down too. Those back-to-backs going from like San Jose to Colorado the next night, like it's there's, even though you probably don't play in those games, but you're getting worn down. I would, I think last season kind of lined up really well for him just with the limited amount of travel. But yeah, I'd like to see him get to that. I'd say 40 to 50 games is in my wheelhouse again, but that all depends on who's number two or number 1A, right? Like they have to be able to come in and perform and maybe even run with the ball for a little bit of time too, right? So, but at his age with the extra travel, I mean, Mike Smith is in phenomenal shape, but, that's my recommendation, but it's hard. I remember, Matt T used to say with Tommy Sal when I played with him, he said, yeah, Gager, I'd like you to play a game here, but it's tough to take my best player out of my lineup. And at that point, Tommy was just I would say top five goalie. So and Matt T liked I was better on the bench and in the room, so he liked my intangibles.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It's funny you talk about. How you get worn down. And I remember sometimes, you know, tough back-to-backs, you know, you'd play and you'd get out of this town late where you're playing in game A, and then you'd go to fly wherever, get in late, you know, maybe get in the hotel at 1 or 2 in the morning, you try to sleep and get up the next morning, you're just bagged, and you go have lunch and go back and have a nap and then get to the rink and try to get yourself going. You'd get on for warm-up and literally your legs were burning. Absolutely. Just there was nothing. There was, I didn't know of anything I could take to get myself going. I'd have a Red Bull. I'd pour Red Bull all over myself. Like I just won the Hungarian Grand Prix, but you know that feeling, and it's so hard. I mean, you can tell yourself while you're in good shape, and you are, but there's just sometimes the body has a tough time, you know, getting it going again.
Especially if the first game was like a bear too, right? And then you'd get to the rink and one foot on the ice, you might be feeling okay. And then you would push and you'd like, who just jumped on my back there? Like, I remember in warmups, like I probably didn't even come close to stopping a shot, and there was no chance I was going down because even you might need a crane to get me back up. And if I felt like that, I knew everyone else didn't feel at 100%. And usually that was the game where you were probably outshot by at least 10 in that first period. And if it was close, you were just rope-a-doping it and hoping for a late rally in the third and try to win one that way. But yeah, man, it is really tough, especially with travel. That was that when that bear gets on your back and warm up for that second game, man, that's awful.
It's joined by Joaquin Gage, and it's so uncomfortable. Like it just, and people, you know, they can say, oh, you're a professional athlete, you're in good shape. Yeah, you are in good shape, but it's just really, really hard. Now, Joaquin joins us, longtime NHLer and regular on the Dustin Nielsen show in the morning. He has a podcast. You know, Mikko Koskinen, you know, it looked like he lost his mojo later in the season into playoffs. What can a goalie do, or what does he need to do to reverse that trend in the off season?
Gosh, that's a good question. Like, especially when you end on not the best note on the keyboard there, you know, he had some rough starts, allowing that first goal, I think. But as goalies, we want to, everyone, you don't get to that level without thinking you can make a difference. Right. So, and he has done it in the past. I think he has to get back to, this is my opinion, but I think he has to get back to kind of the mindset of just stopping pucks. Like when I watch Mikko and I see that it looks like he's struggling to me, he might as well just be a big blocker. Like there's no stopping, like making saves. He's just at a point where he's just trying to get in the way and hopefully it hits him. I think their goalies are so technical, and I like a lot of Mikko's technique when he is playing well. But sometimes I think when I started to struggle you fall back on your fundamentals, but you gotta start thinking, just making saves, right? Like getting in that mindset of just stopping that puck. And I mean, I've always thought that when you see a goalie that, like, you look at the best goalies in the league, the Carey Prices, and sometimes they'll make a glove save just standing up. You know, that's, you know, they're in the zone and just they can see everything, and the puck's the size of a beach ball. I would like to see Mikko just, I mean, there's a lot of times he doesn't have to even go down, but it's just, it's a comfort thing, and it's a sign that, to me anyway, that he's not that confident, and he's just trying to make himself big as possible and hoping it hits him. I'd like to see him try, like, just making a few more saves, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it totally makes sense. And Gager, what I equate it for a D-man is to, you know, to be assertive and go take the body on someone. Like, I think of Jeff Petrie when he was with Edmonton, and I could always tell when he was going to have a good game. His first shift or two, he'd get in someone's way, body someone, steal a puck. But when you're not sure, you're not going to the guy, you're not going to him. You're kind of halfway there, and that no man's land is a killer. But just being assertive, when you're on your game, you're playing on your toes, you knock someone, you know, knock someone on their ass, whatever, or give them a little bump, take the puck, make a quick, sharp play, a hard pass, and you're out the door. When you're not doing that, it shows. And I think your whole rest of your game comes out of that. So I totally relate to that. I totally get what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, what would you do, Stretty, if, like, not if you were in front of me, because you wouldn't have to worry. You'd probably jump in the play as much as possible,
yeah,
if we were playing together. But, like, if say you were in front of Mikko and he was, like, he had that record of allowing that first goal in, are you diving face first in front of that first shot? Like, does that change your game if you know you're the guy behind you is struggling a little bit? Or are you just trying to play your game and just worry about what you have to do? Does it change anything?
Yeah. Well, I remember I used to play with this guy in the minors, Jamie Ramm. He was a great guy. And he'd play it. And before the game, he'd go, guys, if you block everything, we got a chance of getting a tie tonight. But I mean, he was a pretty confident guy. He had a short time in the NHL. But yeah, it's hard. Like, I remember Felix Potvin, who's with us in Vancouver. He had something. I don't know what the problem was. And you feel so bad for him, because it's just like you want to be anywhere than there. It's like that what's that song by Ed Sheeran where, like, you don't want to be at the party. I shouldn't be at this party. And that's how you feel. Like, everyone's got so much to say, but I got nothing to say. And that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. This Felix felt. And so you're trying to get in front of pucks, but the problem is when I'm trying to block everything or trying to do more than my job, I'm not doing my own job. You know, and that's, I think that, you know, as a D-man, you're like, yeah, I just got to do my job, keep the guy to the outside, you know, tie up sticks in front, good first passes. And now I'm also trying to play goalie too. Well, now I'm not doing my regular job. So that opens up things and probably will make it worse for the goalie. So you just hope the guy works through it. But I mean, in all honesty, sometimes you're like, you know, maybe it's time to put the other guy in. You know, and yeah. I've had bad moments too where I was like, don't play me. Like, I'm not playing that well right now, right? And that's a hard conversation to have with a guy that, you know, you just went and had, you know, 10 beers with 3 nights earlier.
Yeah, man. If you look back at those games at the start of the season in January or whatever, February, and you watched when Mikko got to, like, whatever, game 8 and 9 and started struggling a little bit, you saw the Oilers D-man just, like, dropping down, trying to take everything away and getting into that place that you're talking about, that kind of no man's land, right? They don't want the guy to shoot, but they got to take, and they yeah. get caught in between. Mike Smith comes in whatever game 11 or 12 goes on, what did he get, 2 straight shutouts or something like yeah. that? And all of a sudden you see everyone just kind of take that deep breath. I thought he should have been in the conversation for the Vezina, because he made a lot of the, like, I think Darnell Nurse started playing way better and having a great year because he felt way more comfortable when Mike Smith was playing. That's a great feeling as a goalie. Like, when your guys are confident, you know, they're letting guys shoot from certain places because they know the guy's going to stop it. That's an awesome feeling. I miss that feeling. Not that I had it that much, But it happened once in a while.
I'm like that too. Like, I like to score, but I didn't score very often. But I really saw other guys be happy about it. Gager, you know, we have you on all the time, and I feel like I got to give you a chance. What are you doing right now? Where can people track you down other than training for your what is it, the 20-kilometer or 25-kilometer race walk you're going to train for?
Well, I'm not sure about the walk, but okay. You can find me on Twitter. Joaquin Gage 31. I'm dabbling in finance with people, helping match investment portfolios with risk tolerance, things like that. Actually really excited for tomorrow's study. I don't know if you're taking part of it. You're probably too busy, creating future Norse trophy winners right now, but, I'm out with, Mr. Glenn Anderson's, tournament tomorrow. I believe for the Cross Cancer Institute. So,
yes.
I'm okay with you. I know you're a star study, but like being around you, I don't get tongue tied too much, but when I get with those, those 80s oil, like I can't say a word and I'm fanboying out with these guys because I looked up to them so much, which is funny. So I'm really fortunate to be able to take part in these things and kind of rub shoulders with some of my idols as a kid.
It's so awesome. Yeah, and Andy's a great guy. Well, have a good time, buddy. And I really appreciate the time you stepping by. I know we hit him straight long tomorrow. We'll talk to you again soon.
Well, you know where I live, so Slurpee time, how about I buy? All right? I know you'll come by now if I say
okay, I'll
buy.
Be on my way. Right. I'm done at 6. I'll be there by 6:15. Bringing the whole family, too, buddy. Don't just get one for me, right? There's five of us.
So. Yeah, four smalls. You got it.